Morris saved them. He cried out, "Look at me!" He pretended to fall over. He rubbed his rump and sat on the twister so that he fell in the grass. He clowned badly, but Percival and the others noticed and sniffed and laughed. Presently they were all laughing so absurdly that the biggins joined in. Jack was the first to make himself heard. He had not got the conch and thus spoke against the rules, but nobody minded. "And what about the beast?" Something strange was happening to Percival. He yawned and staggered, so that Jack seized and shook him. "Where does the beast live?" Percival sagged in Jack's grip.
"That's a clever beast," said Piggy, jeering, "if it can hide on this island. Jack's been everywhere. Where could a beast live? Beast my foot!"
Percival muttered something, and the assembly laughed again. Ralph leaned forward.
"What does he say?"
Jack listened to Percival's answer, and then let go of him. Percival, released, surrounded by the comfortable presence of humans, fell in the long grass and went to sleep. Jack cleared his throat, then reported casually, "He says the beast comes out of the sea." The last laugh died away. Ralph turned involuntarily, a black humped figure against the lagoon. The assembly looked with him, considered the vast stretches of water, the high sea beyond, unknown indigo of infinite possibility, heard silently the sough and whisper from the reef. Morris spoke, so loudly that they jumped.
"Daddy says they haven't found all the animals in the sea yet."
Argument started again. Ralph held out the glimmering conch, and Morris took it obediently. The meeting subsided.
"I mean, when Jack says you can be frightened because people are frightened anyway, that's all right. But when he says there's only pigs on this island, I expect he's right, but he doesn't know. Not really. Not certainly, I mean."
Morris took a breath.
"My daddy says there's things, what do you call them, that make ink, squids, that are hundreds of yards long and eat whales whole."
He paused again and laughed gaily.
"I don't believe in the beast, of course. As Piggy says, life's scientific, but we don't know, do we? Not certainly, I mean."
Someone shouted, "A squid couldn't come up out of the water. Could, couldn't."
In a moment, the platform was full of arguing, gesticulating shadows. To Ralph, seated, this seemed the breaking up of sanity. Fear, beasts, no general agreement that the fire was all important. And when one tried to get the thing straight, the argument sheared off, bringing up fresh, unpleasant matter. He could see a whiteness in the gloom near him, so he grabbed it from Morris and blew as loudly as he could. The assembly was shocked into silence. Simon was close to him, laying hands on the conch. Simon felt a perilous necessity to speak, but to speak in assembly was a terrible thing to him.
"Maybe," he said hesitantly, "maybe there is a beast."
The assembly cried out savagely, and Ralph stood up in amazement.
"You, Simon, you believe in this?"
"I don't know," said Simon.
His heartbeats were choking him.
"But..." The storm broke. "Sit down! Shut up! Take the conch! Sod you! Shut up!"
Ralph shouted, "Hear him! He's got the conch!"
"What I mean is, maybe it's only us."
"Nuts!"
That was from Piggy, shocked out of decorum. Simon went on,
"We could be sort of..."
Simon became inarticulate in his effort to express mankind's essential illness. Inspiration came to him.
"What's the dirtiest thing there is?"
As an answer, Jack dropped into the uncomprehending silence that followed it, the one crude expressive syllable. Release was like an orgasm. Those little ones who had climbed back on the twister fell off again and did not mind. The hunters were screaming with delight. Simon's effort fell about him in ruins. The laughter beat him cruelly, and he shrank away, defenceless, to his seat.